Strangers. I'm not about to break out into song and singing Strangers in the Night or get my clarinet out and do an acapella and play Strangers on the Shore. But strangers I wanted to talk about today. Strangers. Have you ever wondered and thought about how people living as foreigners in a country, and perhaps if we consider the country in which we live, people living as foreigners, recognised as foreigners in this country, I mean those who have only a short time been here. Having come here, some legally and others illegally. But what it must be like, just for one moment, just think for a moment, as a human being, what it must be like for them faced with such differences. Differences of life, differences of culture, differences of language. Think on the refugee. Having left all they call home behind, due to much distress and sufferings, only to be made to feel unwelcome, unwanted. Now it is true, this can work both ways. There are people who don't want to join in, wherever it is they're found in the world. People from this country go to other places and will only mix with those who've come from this country and don't integrate together. But I'm talking about when people have this feeling of feeling unwelcome, unwanted, not fitting in. And this doesn't really just have to apply to strangers from another country. It could be someone going from one part of the country to another, resettling for whatever reason. Their parents have moved, they're in a new school, and suddenly they're slam bang in the middle of a new environment. They're the new one. They're the odd one out. Yes, to be made to feel as if they just do not belong. Now, as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we must get this clear. We're not of this world. We have no ties to anything in this world. We have no political allegiances of either persuasion. Neither are we too. Our first and foremost allegiance is to the King who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that sounds like a subversive message, it is. It is. It always has been a subversive message from the days of the early church, where many, many of our brethren suffered horrendous things for not bowing. For not bowing to Nero and others, the wicked rulers, the Roman emperors who saw themselves as deities. As believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, a biblical teaching is very clear. Wherever we're found in the world, this attitude of mind and heart is to be sought to be practiced. And it's this. There is a clear teaching in Holy Scripture for God's people. We don't seek to impose it upon the state, upon our environment around us. This is impending upon the child of God. The child of God has no wriggle room on this. As much as lies within our power, the biblical teaching for God's people is to care for the alien, to care for the foreigner, to care for the fatherless, etc. Such as come across our path. We are not to be involved in politics and ultra-patriotic campaigning of either persuasion. Why? Well, for one reason, have you ever thought, just for one moment, when you're sitting there amongst people complaining about this group of people and that group of people and those who do this and those who do that, and have you ever for one moment thought that among many immigrants, asylum seekers, that there just could be found amongst them those who are your brothers and sisters in Christ? You see, our allegiance is to King Jesus and his citizens. What do we read? We read in the scriptures some with their hospitality entertained angels not knowing it. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, having been brought here by God's good providence. God, who is sovereign, ruling over all things. Be it because they are in poverty, or were in poverty, where they came from, or suffering extreme persecutions, and God brought them here. Well, as believers, above all others, we should be able to empathize in general with anyone, actually, who feels they don't fit in. If we be living for Christ truly in this world, wherever we've been placed, we should be able to empathize with anyone who feels they do not fit in, they do not belong, they are not wanted and unwelcome. If we feel so much at ease and so welcome in the world that we live in, there is something wrong spiritually with us. See today in our text in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And we look especially at verse 22. We find Moses in his travels has ended up in Midian. And verse 22 we see, but as we read also from verse 19, sorry, and verse 20, from verse 19, and they said, an Egyptian, this is talking of the daughters of Jethro, where we left Moses last week, in sweet fellowship with the priest of Midian, after he had done this good turn to their daughters at the well when they were attacked by these wicked shepherds seeking to drive them away from the well and Jethro's flock. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. And he said, Jethro, he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Then Moses was content to live with the man. And then we see in the process of time, and he, Jethro, gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses as wife. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. I have been a stranger in a strange land. That is our text today. See today, Moses, the servant of God, having fled for his life from Egypt, and now brought to fellowship with the priest of Midian, one of the few, if any, that were found in Midian amongst that idolatrous nation, one of the few that would be found who was upholding the true faith of God. Because God always has his people. He has a remnant scattered around. He finds fellowship with the priest of Midian and has a son by Zipporah, whom was given to him in marriage. But firstly, today I want to point out something. We must read the scriptures here and see that much of this took place over a longer period of time than which we read it. As is clear from our verse before us, all that had taken place in the time since Moses had fled from Egypt and found himself in Midian. And then we read of him being sat down at the well and coming across the daughters of Jethro. Firstly, he was completely alone. He had been completely alone. That is clear from our verse. It would appear Moses, before this encounter with the priest of Midian's daughters, he was for some time knowing no one at all in the land. We don't know how long, but we know it wasn't instantaneous, this incident that took place after him travelling to Midian. This is clear from the text. For see the name of his firstborn son here. You see, nothing is placed in Scripture by accident. Nothing is revealed by God the Holy Spirit here just for grammatical sense. Everything is written for our learning. See from the name of the firstborn son here, speaking of his son, and he called his name Gershom. Gershom. Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it when God's word not only makes a statement, but then goes on to give a direct translation of something, so we can be left in no doubt as to what it means. Not always does that happen. Oftentimes we need and we must always interpret Scripture with Scripture. But here we see the interpretation directly given. Directly given. He called his name Gershom. We see an example of it, do we not, when Abraham is called to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And this was done to test Abraham's faith. And Abraham was true to this test. And Abraham actually sacrificed his son. In his own eyes he did. He lifted up that dagger. And the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, called out to him and said, "Do not harm the lad." And what does Abraham see? Abraham sees the ram caught in a thicket. And he offers that up in place of his son, fulfilling the very words he said to his servants, not knowing how it would happen, but he said, "Indeed, the lad and I will return to you." Also saying to his son, when he inquired, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" he says, "The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice." But what does Abraham call that place? Jehovah Jireh. And we're given immediately the meaning of it, so we can be left in no doubt. Jehovah Jireh. For in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Speaking of that great sacrifice made at the end of the ages by the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross and indeed bore himself in his own body our sins on the tree. The best example of an explanation being given of a name, of course, was of the Blessed Redeemer. Joseph is visited by the angel, is he not? And he's told, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You will call his name Jesus. You will call his name God Saves. You will call his name Savior. What of this name Gershon? For he said, we read, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And he was. He knew nothing of Midian. This arid, barren, deserter's land. Moses was living here in Midian alone without anyone. Without anyone. Without anyone but his God. We just read of Abraham, have we not? Of Moses, have we not? In Hebrews 11. He saw, as it were, him who is unseen by faith. And he was living here alone. See here your state, your state, if you know not the Saviour God, this is you, in a worse state than Abraham, keep calling him Abraham, in a worse state than Moses, although of course Abraham was an ungodly man until he was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans by the grace of God. But this is your state, knowing not the Saviour God. Much worse than Moses. You may attend to the worship of God, be found amongst the people of God. Moses was found amongst the Midianites. He didn't belong there. You may be found amongst the people of God and be welcomed by the people of God, but still know that you don't belong. You may attend to the worship of God and even commit your time to be part of the church, yet remaining a complete outsider and stranger. Secondly, Moses says, I have been a stranger. Don't you just love that statement when you think on the words, I have been a stranger? Praise God for the many instances of the past tense being used to describe the state of his elect. I have been. To describe the elect of God, believing the Son of God now. They have been, they once were darkness. Not just in darkness, you once were darkness, Paul says. But now you are light. You have been called out of darkness into God's marvellous light. God has shone in your heart if you know Christ. Can you though? Can you use such positive language? Such positive language as to describe how you were and how you are now before God. This is what the one believing Christ is told of, the joy and the honour that be yours now, right now. Ephesians 2:12-13, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, foreigners, strangers, not belonging, from the commonwealth of Israel, the Israel of God, the church of the living God, and strangers from the covenants of promise. They meant nothing to you. They were not brought to your understanding. They were not brought to you by faith. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But the child of God is told that at that time you were. At that time you lived in that strange, strange land. Strangers to God. Those people who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking a strange language. Now, I'm not talking about the mumbo jumbo that the wickedness of Pentecostalism claims to be, strange tongues. I'm talking about the language of grace, the language of faith, to know God. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near, brought near, drawn near by the blood of Christ. Don't you love the past tense that is given for the child of God? I have been a stranger, but not anymore. If you are ever to know grace, if you are ever to know God, if you are ever to recognize who the Savior is, you actually must experience what it means to know yourself a stranger before God. You see, the one who considers themselves to be, well, some kind of a believer on God, some kind of a believer on Christ, God will accept me because I do this and I do that. They never accept themselves. They never see themselves as ungodly. They never see themselves as strangers to God. And so they never draw near with a true heart. But if you're brought to know yourself a stranger, you're halfway to being brought to that position of being close, brought near by the blood. You who were once a stranger to grace and mercy, Paul is saying here, being dead in trespasses and sins, having been made alive by the Spirit of God and given faith to trust Christ, you know God now as a living reality. I once had a notion of Christ, but I was a stranger. I didn't know him. Welcomed into the presence of God by the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See Jethro, the priest of God. Abraham, knows that perfect union. Moses knows that perfect union with Jethro. And he's content. See the picture. We come into perfect fellowship with God. In and only through him who is the one priest, who is the one great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. We have been brought near and are continued to be brought near through a mediator who brings us to God. Whoever liveth to bring us to God. Yes, if you know Christ now, you truly know that this is so. You were a stranger once. Yes, once without God, without hope, with no peace of mind. As the song by Bob Dylan quite eloquently fits in here, to be on your own, completely on your own, to be on your own with absolutely, with no direction home, a complete unknown. And as one that does not know where they're going, like a rolling stone. That was you, outside of Christ. That was you, outside of knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have been a stranger, not anymore. Gershom is his name. Gershom is the testimony. No longer so. For God owns you openly. He owns you openly before man as his own right now. And he says, as he said to the prophet Isaiah, I have redeemed you. You are mine. Can you lay claim? Can you lay claim to this amazing reality? Can you lay claim to this amazing reality? Such a shame when people miss the point. They're out of the room. To be a child of God. It's an amazing reality. To be no longer an outsider. The prophet Hosea declaring these wonderful words of hope in Hosea 1:10. In the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. There it shall be said unto them, the same ones. Unto them, in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. There it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. What a turnaround. What a change. What a wondrous reality now is known. That God's prophet spoke of all the redeemed in Christ, chosen and called to believe on the Son of God, here is made clear in Romans 9:16-26. Read it when you go home. He will be gracious upon whom he will be gracious. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And now, as no longer a stranger, no longer an outsider, no longer is it said, not belonging here, not belonging amongst the people of God. No longer is this said, but as of right to be called the children of God, John 1. To be called children of God. If God has called you to believe on his Son, the called according to his purpose. and belonging, a member of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, thirdly, we must say, here with Moses, essentially, there was another aspect of this statement here, describing the name Gershom. For I have been a stranger in a strange land. For there was another aspect where he is actually saying he continues to be a stranger. But it has both meanings of this term. For essentially Moses remained a stranger, even now. Not to God. Just as indeed the child of God, the one believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified, is indeed not a stranger to God. But a stranger to the world around. There has been a turnaround, you see. A stranger to God, belonging in the world, and now belonging to God. No longer a stranger to God. And so, not accepted by the world anymore. Not accepted by the world. We're not to marvel when they reject us. We're not to marvel when they persecute us. We're not to marvel when they don't involve us. Should we expect to be involved all the time? No, he did not remain belonging in the world. He definitely did not belong in Midian, the world around him at the time, the people he lived among. He had to view himself as a stranger still here. For he was not a Midianite. He was not a Midianite. Now we may have friends, worldly friends. We may have friends who we spend some of our time with. We may have some that we rub shoulders with. But we're not one of them anymore. We have a different perspective. We look to a different city. A heavenly city. But with the Midianites, especially here, Moses was dwelling amongst an idolatrous people. And we indeed shine forth as luminaries, Paul says. That's the word he uses in Philippians 2. We shine forth as lights in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. How can we say we belong? How can we say we're not a stranger if we belong to Christ? You see, Moses dwelt in this land of Midian, but by upbringing he was an Egyptian, and by birth he was a Hebrew. And by new birth, he looked to Christ and was not ashamed to suffer the reproach of Christ. Looking to the promised land, physically and spiritually. Midian was not this land of Canaan promised to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. Yes, sweet fellowship was had with Jethro, but as long as he remained there in Midian, he did not belong. for around him dwelt idolatrous ways, and they would have grieved him. He remained in a strange land, not his home. You see, listen, child of God, you who know Christ, we must get a right perspective on things. We are never told to lock ourselves away and shut ourselves off from the world. That's never implied in any way, shape or form in the scriptures. And yet we are told, be ye holy as I am holy. Set apart for God, but in the midst of the darkness. Not aside from the darkness. Whoever saw a light shine in the light? Have you? Have you seen a light twinkle in the light? But when the light goes on in darkness, you notice it. Let your light so shine before men, the Lord Jesus said. The world should not know you. The world should not know you. You should really be a stranger to the world in this sense. The world should not know you. What do I mean by this? Well, this present evil world that hates Christ should never truly accept you as one of their own. Now, sure, they will pacify us. Sure, they will put up with us to a point. But beware when we are that comfortable, where everything we say, everything we stand for, they accept. I will tell you what we stand for, what we say is not true. They should not truly accept you as one of their own, because we are not. And the Lord Jesus never encouraged us to expect it to be so. They hated me, they'll hate you also. If anyone will live godly in Christ Jesus, he will suffer persecution. Whatever level of that persecution, no matter how the form of that persecution, whatever the form of that persecution takes, that opposition takes, we will suffer it if we live godly in Christ Jesus. We're promised it. The apostle in 1 Peter 2:11 calls God's people living in this world, not set apart in some big commune somewhere, in this world, amongst the world, calls God's people living in this world strangers and pilgrims. 1 Peter 2:11. Strangers and pilgrims in the world. One who is passing through, it means. One who is passing through to another place. And dwelling for a time as a foreigner, an alien. And that's why we go back to that point. We should be able to empathize. If we truly live for Christ in this world, if we seek to follow the Saviour, we should empathize to some degree of what it means to be made to feel at times we don't belong, left out. We all have those feelings at times. Not belonging here, you see. As the Lord Jesus says of his people, He has redeemed by his blood the elect of God, chosen from eternity unto salvation in him. He says in John 17:16, in his great high priestly prayer, in the Lord's prayer, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Why? Because God's people, because those who love the Saviour are in Christ. They're in Christ. Christ, who is our ark of salvation. He is prefigured in type by that ark that Noah was commanded to build when God was to flood the earth. If ever there was an example of something that stood out, that did not belong. Just those eight souls that were saved by the grace of God. Those eight souls that were saved in the ark. The ark stood out different from everyone else. Everything else around. And everyone, the majority, were going about their business. Marrying and giving in marriage. Right up to the time when Noah and his family went into the ark. And so Noah and his family stood out. They were in the ark. And we who belong to Christ are in Christ. And so as surely as Christ is not of this world, we are not of this world. We are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is. You know, when someone has come to live in another country, you might know people who've gone abroad to live. They've gone abroad to live, they've emigrated. They've become a citizen elsewhere. They've got much history here. Despite their history, despite their many years of history here, or wherever the country is that they began in, when they visit the previous home, they appear different. They appear different. They cannot but appear different in some way. Having adopted so many ways, so many new ways. They speak differently. They act differently. Their accent may change. Why did Moses still consider himself a stranger and an outsider in Midian here? Well, as we've already intimated in Hebrews 11, his eyes were somewhere else. His eyes were somewhere else. As surely as his eyes were somewhere else when he cast aside all the pleasures, all the trappings of fame in the court of Pharaoh, all the trappings of wealth and the debauchery and the idolatrous ways and the sinful practices in the court of Pharaoh, to be called the son of the king's daughter. His eye was somewhere else then. He was caused by sovereign grace to see, I belong somewhere else. I belong with my brethren, the people of God. But his eye was somewhere else, beyond this life, beyond this world. His eyes were on the promised land. Yes, they were on the promised land, beyond the physical Jordan in Canaan. He looked to the promise given to Abraham of the land of Canaan. But I know Moses had in mind a much greater land. You see, Moses is not weeping right now that he was not permitted to enter the promised land of Canaan. I know that. Because his eyes were on that heavenly land. Many entered the land of Canaan who were not found amongst the elect of God. They entered the physical Canaan, but they, when they left this life, they, when they trod the verge of Jordan, that physical, that spiritual treading the verge of Jordan at death, they did not know anything of their fears being subsided. Landed safe on Canaan's side, landed safe on the heavenly side. Moses did. That's what his eye was upon, you see. Is your eye upon that first and foremost? A much greater land, the heavenly country, where Moses knew his true citizenship lay. He was always going to be a stranger here below. But he was never to be a stranger above. See how you who trust Christ, you who profess Christ, are to view your life here below now, right now. This is not something to be recited at funerals. This is to be believed right now. This is an attitude of mind and heart right now. This is how we live our life right now, with this in mind. And this indeed motivates what we do, whether we live for Christ in this life or not, or whether we indeed would rather heap upon ourselves the pleasures of this life, the things that are passing away. See how you should view yourself. Yes, you were once strangers. Once strangers to God, but now strangers below. Strangers to man. Strangers to the reprobate. Strangers to that which is being burnt up. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1 before we close. 1 Peter 1. And verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because, as it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay, or as is put in the AV, your sojourning, your stay. Conduct yourselves throughout your temporary stay. Nobody goes into a hotel normally and stays there forever. Yes, there are some places, some oldie worldy hotels, where actually there are some old age pensioners that they actually have their own room there and they stay there. And they pay the room rate all the time, they stay there all the time. There are some characters on that comedy 40 Towers where there is these old people, they were always there. But normally a hotel knows, we know in our stay at a hotel a time of checking out. We don't know the time of our checking out from our stay here, but there is a time fixed, an appointed time. And so we should see that our life here below is a stay. It's a stay. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. So don't set your mind on those things, the worldly things, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Paul says elsewhere in Philippians 1 that our conduct, our conversation, be as fitting the gospel of Christ. Can you say though? Can you really say? Are you at liberty to say? Can you say, past tense, I have been a stranger to God? Or do you still say, in your heart, do you still say, with an honest heart to yourself, I know not God? Can you say, I have been a stranger to God. I once was lost, but now am found. Are you found right now? To be found no longer a stranger, calling upon the name of the Lord even now to be saved. Will Christ, when he comes again as judge, declare you to be a stranger, saying, I never knew you. I never knew you. What a privilege, what a privilege it is to past tense, to say, I have been a stranger, but I know the living God now. I have eternal life to know Christ, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. But to be able to acknowledge now, this is not my home. I'm a stranger here below. But there is awaiting me a heavenly land. When I get to the gates of that land, I'm going to hear those words. Come in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But if we be believing on Christ, the Son of God, the crucified, we'll hear those words.